We will now hear from the President of the International Council for Education of People with Visual Impairment, ICEVI, and also the International Program Administrator at the Overbrook School for the Blind. He has traveled the world. He has dealt with educational programs for blind people in dozens, perhaps hundreds of countries. The title of the program is Education of Blind Youth, a Worldwide Imperative. Here is Larry Campbell.
Dr. Maurer, Federationists, thank you very much for inviting me to be with you this afternoon. I must say at this point in the day, after Mrs. Jernigan's three-minute exit talk, I feel like a contestant in that old program, Beat the Clock. I must admit that my anxiety level was growing each hour as I sat with my home delegation from Maine and listened, good, and listened to the number of very, very upbeat presentations, whether it was public policy, information technology, and that incredible panel this morning put on by the National Organizations of Parents of Blind Children. And I'm going to tell you why my anxiety level was growing, because I knew I'm the last speaker of the afternoon. This has been such an upbeat program, so much good news, so much progress, and I feel like I'm now going to be a bit of a wet blanket, but I think the facts that I need to put before you are things that you should be aware of. I'm going to talk to you for a few minutes this afternoon about the 4.4 million blind children in the world that I call the forgotten 4 million. The World Health Organization tells us that there are about 6 million preschool and school-age blind children throughout the world. 80% of those children live in the developing countries of Asia, Africa, and Latin America. Today, only 1 out of every 10 of those children have access to the basic human right to education. And this is simply something we cannot tolerate and cannot let to continue. This is to say nothing of the children of increasing numbers with additional disabilities and the more than 13 million children who are living in the developing world with uncorrected refractive errors that are preventing them from going to school or having them drop out of school very prematurely. This month, I celebrate 30 years of full-time work internationally. During that period of time, I've traveled to and worked in more than 120 countries. When I began my international career 30 years ago this month, 3% of the children with visual impairment in the developing world had access to education. 30 years later, we've reached 10%. I'll let you do the math, but we're looking at the 25th century at this pace. The International Council for Education of People with Visual Impairment, which is an umbrella organization representing individuals and organizations in more than 144 countries, 4 years ago, began to look at this situation to try to determine what could be done to dramatically change that situation. The first thing we had to do is look at why are we where we are today after so much effort has been put in by so many international development agencies over the past 30 to 40 years. I'll share with you a few of those. First of all, lack of public policy, or where there is public policy, the failure to make sure that governments enforce that policy. Very important and very, very clear from this convention this week is the failure of most countries to mobilize their blind citizens and parents of blind children to advocate for education. We have weak and non-existent early intervention programs, severe shortages of teachers, a lack of affordable and accessible teaching aids, and then some blame must be placed at the feet of the international organizations themselves. Until very recently, the international organizations working in this field have failed to cooperate and coordinate their efforts with each other, sometimes resulting in duplication of effort, and very often the failure to work directly with governments. Finally, we have also failed to underpin our programs with good research. I was so pleased with Mark's remarks about the importance of research, and I hope in the future there will be opportunities for us to collaborate with NFB in this particular area. Now, with all of that grim news, let me try to end on a somewhat upbeat note. There is hope on the horizon. First of all, the World Bank, UNESCO, and UNICEF, that created the Education for All program in 1990, have at last woken up to the fact that the UN Millennium Development Goals will not be met unless they are able to integrate the needs of people with disabilities into their mainstream development programs. Second, and very importantly, is the recent ratification of the UN Convention on the Rights of Persons with Disabilities. We now have a tool in our hands that we did not have before to really pressure governments to do what they should have been doing for a very long time. With that analysis, the International Council and its partner, the World Blind Union, in 2006 launched a global campaign on education for all children with visual impairment. While there has been tremendous progress in the general Education for All initiative globally, that is, more primary schools in developing countries, significant increases in the number of children with access to education, almost across the board, that has not included children with visual impairment. So this bold initiative that we've undertaken is designed to bring the international community together to work on a single, unified effort to put pressure on governments and to also extend a hand to them to offer them the material and technical assistance that they may need to make education for children who are blind a reality. Our goals are quite simple. We're trying to increase school enrollment dramatically. We're trying to reduce dropout rates significantly. We want to assure that the students who are integrated do have the appropriate supports they require. Many governments have been getting away with simply pushing kids into classrooms and calling that inclusive education, when in fact the kids do not have the support that they require in terms of accessible materials and teachers who know what they're doing. Our final measure will be, do children who are blind perform on par with their sighted peers? We've got to underpin this campaign with solid research. We've got to train enormous numbers of teachers. We've got to find ways of developing and resourcing high-quality, low-cost educational tools for use in developing countries. Today, the program, with just a year and a half, which has really been only going for about a year and a half, is active in 5 countries, with 10 additional countries preparing their national plans in final form. The first phase of this campaign concludes in 2010, and by then we hope to have 18 countries on board, with exponential increases in the years ahead. As I looked around this hall this week, as I've done at previous NFB conventions that I've been to, I kept thinking, I wonder if there's an NFB gene, and if there is an NFB gene, could we talk to Ray Kurzweil about getting that injected into the bloodstreams of so many of the individuals and organizations that I work with throughout the developing world. I truly, I thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to share a bit about this global campaign with you. Dr. Jernigan, before Dr. Maurer, and now Dr. Maurer, have heard me on so many occasions appeal to NFB to get more involved internationally. I do see through this global campaign a tremendous synergy that can be developed between, particularly between the Jernigan Institute and this global campaign, that would bring benefit both to the National Federation of the Blind and to the 4.4 million forgotten children in the developing world. I look forward to talking to you further about that at a later point. Thanks very much for your attention, and I beat the clock.
You certainly did. Thank you, Larry.